The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Bob Burney Live.
Looking at today's news through a biblical worldview.
When all the dust settles from this whole COVID-19 thing, I really honestly believe that we're going to discover that a lot, not just a few, a lot of the things government did, individuals did, was simply because, well, we got to do something. There has been so much of the, well, we've got to do something. And so we did a bunch of stuff, and some have probably helped, others not so much. Again, here's the headline. A year of COVID-19 lockdown is putting kids at risk of allergies, asthma, and autoimmune diseases. Listen to this. This is the first paragraph. Eat dirt is a phrase I remember well. It was in the title of an article published by Harvard University environmental health professor Dr. Scott T. Weiss, and it captured my attention while I was learning about an immunological concept known as hygiene hypothesis. All right, then the article goes into some really deep, heavy stuff, and I'll be honest with you, I don't understand a lot of it because I'm not an immunologist. But the author says this: our bodies are covered inside and out with microorganisms that, under normal circumstances, happily cohabitate with us and promote a healthy immune system. If infants, toddlers, and young children are not sufficiently exposed to the microbial world around them, their ability to properly regulate their own immune systems can be compromised. To go back to my dear precious brother-in-law, it wasn't his fault. His parents put him in an absolute sterile bubble. And he had no immunity. And as a child, he was sick, 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 sick. After he married my sister and began hanging around our house more, which was not sterile. It wasn't dirty, but I'll tell you one thing. It was not sterile. I came from a house of factory workers, okay? He started getting better. All right, anyway, back to this study. Quote, evidence suggests a combination of strategies, including increased social exposure through sport, other outdoor activities, less time spent indoors, will help reduce risks of allergic disease. Preventative efforts must focus on early life. We have shut our kids inside now for almost a year. We have forbidden them to go to school and be around other kids because we got to protect them. Quote, data suggest that SARS-CoV does not represent a greater danger to children than the annual flu. Yet social interactions of children have been severely limited, including removing them from schools. Most of their extracurricular activities have been canceled and they have been discouraged from leaving their homes. Even the air they breathe is often filtered by masks, and there is prevalent use of hand sanitizer. You ready for this? I'm quoting. In short, most COVID-19 policies have maximized the potential for children to develop dysregulated immune systems. As a viral immunologist, I was not overly concerned about this in the early stages of the pandemic when temporary measures were put in place to flatten the curve. However, there is cause for concern 1 year later. After many places in Canada and other countries have spent months in lockdowns or with very limited social contact and activities to prevent the spread of COVID-19. Again, listen to this. The youngest among us have had their immunological development compromised for 1 year and growing. The more immature the immune system is, the more prone it will be to becoming dysregulated during the pandemic. Let me skip a couple paragraphs. Again, quoting. An unfortunate and underappreciated long-term legacy of this pandemic will likely be a cluster of pandemic youth that grow up to suffer higher than average rates of allergies, asthma, and autoimmune diseases. This will hold true for children in all countries that enacted isolation policies. Raising children during the pandemic has largely occurred in isolated, sanitized environments that are unprecedented in extent and duration. These kids are at greater risk of developing hypersensitivities and autoimmune diseases than anyone ever before them. The immune systems of children are not designed to develop in isolation from the microbial world. So let's consider letting children be children again. Harvard immunologist. Now, I'm not a doctor. Don't pretend to be one. I don't pretend to be very smart. And I mean that. I'm not saying that in a self-deprecating manner. Just being honest. I've never considered myself to be overly intelligent or smart. I am Mr. Average. I really am. But if you're a regular listener, at least 6 to 8 months ago, behind this microphone, I said, we're going to destroy our immunity here in America, particularly children. This is going to have long-reaching consequences. Living in a sterile environment for this long is going to harm our immune system, and it's going to open us up to all kinds of other stuff. Now, that's what I said months ago, as dumb as I am. But the cry has been, well, we got to do something. Children, we have known now, I'm telling you, I feel this is close to criminal. We have known now for several months that children are safer in school than at home. We have known that. All the data, all the science, get the kids back in school. They will be healthier in school than locked up in their house. And it has been primarily teachers' unions that have fought this. And I think it's close to criminal. Unintended consequences. When you respond from the position, well, we got to do something. We got to do something. We got to flatten the curve. We got to do something. And decisions are made not on settled science, but a whole bunch of panic and people demanding, what are you going to do? You're the government. You're the governor. You're the Department of Health. What are you going to do to protect us? You got to do something. Okay. We'll do something. Many of the decisions that have been made in the last year have been made by good, solid, well-meaning people, and many of the decisions have been based on good science. At the same time, many of the decisions that have been made simply because, well, we got to do something, and something is better than nothing, in many cases. And the way this is going to impact children, doing something is not better than nothing. All right, final break. I got Rick in Columbus. We'll talk to Rick when we come back. If you'd like to get in, 877-BOB-LIVE, 877-262-5483.
Talk radio that makes a difference.
Makes a difference.
This is Bob Burney Live.
And welcome again to Bob Burney Live. I usually say this at the very, very end of the program on Friday, and sometimes I run out of time. Before I go to the phone, let me just encourage you folks, be in a solid Bible-believing church this coming Sunday. If your church is still not meeting indoors, then make sure you're a part of the streaming audio service. If you are compromised with your immunity and so forth, and you're not comfortable around other people, oh, okay. Make sure you become a part of their streaming service. Almost all churches now are streaming their services. Very rare, even for small churches. But be involved. Don't separate yourself from your local church during this whole COVID thing. Do not do that. The church needs you, but you need the church. So don't neglect. Scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. The percentage of Americans attending church has dropped dramatically in the last year, beginning to increase. But there is no reason today with the electronic technology, there is no reason for anybody not to be involved in their local church. If you don't have a good Bible-believing local church, start the search this weekend. All right, let's go to the phones, and I've got Rick in Columbus. Rick, thanks for calling. You're on Bob Burney Live. Welcome.
Thanks, Bob. Hey, your anniversary, April or March 12th. I always, every March and April, May, there's three or four. I always remember from the Navy. It's kind of funny. Just some things you just never seem to forget.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm calling about the mask. And here's the thing. And, you know, I do not have a dictionary in front of me for what the textbook definition of brainwashing is, but I am just blown away when I keep driving around and seeing people wearing face masks in their cars. And I don't get it. I heard a snippet that, like, maybe 43% of the people now admit because of COVID, they've become germaphobes. And a good portion of people, even if face mask restrictions are lifted, are going to wear face masks. And what it kind of reminds me of, have you seen Toy Story, the movie with your grandkids?
Toy Story, yeah. Which one? There's three of them.
The first one.
The first one, of course. Loved it.
Okay, so remember when everybody's getting introduced to Buzz and he's on the bed and he's like still super macho spaceman, and he's really digging his role.
Yeah.
And Woody goes up and pushes his little button and his helmet opens up and Buzz thinks he's going to die. That's what's going to happen to these folks. They were with their face mask off.
I remember that.
The air. Yeah. It's terrible. This is one of the consequences of this thing. I mean.
Well, people. And I have said this from the very, very beginning. We should be careful. We should be cautious. We should take all of the measures that we should to keep us and our families safe. But we cannot live in fear. We can't live in fear. We just can't. Now, Rick, real quick, I was ranting and raving a couple of days ago about people wearing masks in their car. One of our listeners sent me a message, and she said, well, here's the reason. It messes up my hair when I take it on and off. So if I know I'm going a short distance and I'm going to be getting out of the car, I leave my mask on because I don't want it to mess up my hair when I get back in the car or when I get out. I thought, okay, all right. That makes a whole lot more sense than I'm going to get COVID in my car alone with the windows up. So,
Hey, real quick,
you're breaking up, Rick.
That's where we've been going at the seams because they've been open. So,
hey, you were breaking up. You'll have to repeat what you just said.
But we're going to church, and we left it in June because of the mask policy. They wanted us to wear a mask. And going to a church that was no mask, and they've just been busting at the seams, getting more and more people there.
Okay. I have tried, Joy and I love to speak at other churches, and I have tried to honor the policy of the church where I'm at. If most of the people wear a mask, I wear a mask. And I ask up front, are most of the people in your congregation going to be wearing a mask? If so, count me in. I will wear a mask. If they don't, I probably don't. But I've tried to honor what they're doing because I don't want to offend. I don't,
yeah,
you know?
We don't shame anybody. We don't try to shame anybody that wears one.
Yeah. Hey, Rick, I got to go. The music's playing, and that means I'm going to be cut off here pretty quick. God bless you, brother. Hey, thank you for joining me tonight. This week, look forward to joining you again next week. Please, wherever you go and whatever you do, remember whose you are.
Listen. Think. Discern.